Hi, friends, and welcome to the Experience Our Industry podcast. I am Dr. Brian Greenwood, and I am super excited to be here today with Isabel Magana Dalal. How are you, Isabel?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Oh, so great to see you. And let me tell our listeners a little bit about you, first of all. So Isabel is a 2020 graduate of Cal Poly with a degree in environmental management and protection, and a minor in event planning and experience management. So that's her connection to the experience industry management department. We love having our minor graduates on, and I think you're the third or the fourth one that we've had. And so we want to make sure that you all always feel like you're a part of our family, and so it's so great to see you.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. Honestly, I feel like the minor meant a lot to me, so I appreciate hearing that back.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so excited, Isabel, to talk to you. You probably don't know this, but well, maybe you could sense the tone in my email. I am a super big golf fan. Like I am a huge golf fan, and Isabel is her current role is as program coordinator for the TGR Foundation. So those who know golf well know that the TGR Foundation is a Tiger Woods charity, and so I think most of our listeners have heard the name Tiger Woods. Isabel, I have a good story. I was at the 1995 Masters.
Wow.
That was Tiger's very first Masters in 1995. Ben Crenshaw, they called him Gentle Ben. Ben Crenshaw ended up winning that one. But there were greats there. You know, it was Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer. Tiger's roars were already rivaling. They were rivaling Jack and Arnold at the time, and it was like the buzz was just palpable, you know, there. And I've never been to the Masters since. I got super lucky to get to go. My best friend's grandfather was an original member of Augusta National.
Oh, wow.
Of the club. And but the way it works is you can't pass it on to your family. So once he died, they were supposed to give up their membership, but they pretended like he was alive for 15 years.
Oh my gosh. And
so they knew that this was going to be the last year that they got tickets.
Wow.
So I got to go. Yeah, I got to go that year. But anyway, I'll try not to bog you down in any more golf talk. That'll be the last golf talk. How's that?
That's okay.
Let's talk about you. That's why we're here today, Isabel. So tell us where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Yorba Linda, California, in Orange County.
Okay, right on. Tell me about Yorba Linda. I don't know much about Yorba Linda.
Yeah, so it's the birthplace of Richard Nixon.
Oh, no way. Okay. Well, that's an interesting claim to fame, right?
It is. Yeah, definitely. We have a library here. That's why. But I also had my wedding reception at the Nixon Library. So
you
I definitely know it.
I bet it's gorgeous. Is it gorgeous?
It's gorgeous. But yeah, Yorba Linda is just an amazing city. I mean, it's beautiful. I've lived here my whole life, and I currently live here still, so I love it. Can't say enough amazing things about it.
That's awesome. Well, you got to go home. That is really cool. I love that. So tell me about what did your parents do when you were growing up?
Yeah, so both my parents are actually teachers, and they still are. My whole life, yes.
Oh, that is awesome. What do they teach? Tell me.
So my dad teaches fifth grade. He's actually taught fifth grade for about 30 years now.
No way. Yeah, that is so amazing. Cool.
And my mom, she's been lucky enough to teach several different grades. Right. But currently she's with elementary school students. So
Right on, right on. Well, I just love, obviously as an educator myself, I absolutely love teachers and just have such a special place in my heart for them and had so many great teachers growing up. And so I just love I love teachers. I just wish that I wish we loved teachers back more, right? We need to value our teachers
Absolutely.
more in this country and around the world than we do.
Absolutely.
Tell me, what about brothers and sisters? Any brothers and sisters growing up?
I have an older brother
Yeah.
and he went to UCLA. He's currently an engineer at Lyft in San Francisco.
Oh, no way. That's cool.
Yeah, amazing. I'm so proud of him. He is
Yeah.
amazing.
Are
Yeah.
you guys close?
Yeah, we're really close. We're only about 4 years apart. So he was always like my best friend growing up, and
Oh.
he doesn't live too close by now, but he's just an amazing role model. He always has been.
I love it. I love it. Well, shout out to Big Bro. Tell me what young Isabel was like growing up. What was your jam? Not that you're old now, Isabel, but you know what I mean. Younger Isabel.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. You're right. I'm not old yet. So younger Isabel, definitely an athlete. My parents were amazing and they were actually my coaches for pretty much every sport I was in. So I played basketball, softball, soccer, and soccer really stuck. So I was a soccer girl my whole life. And then I unfortunately got injured in high school, so I had to switch a little bit, which was ended up being totally fine. I joined ASB. And I got more involved in my church, so which is where I met my husband. So everything works out.
That's right. That's right. I love that. That's awesome. Well, I hear a lot of our students that talk about ASB and their involvement with ASB. Is that how you kind of got the events bug?
Yeah, actually, it's funny. I didn't know it then, but yes, I think
Yeah,
so.
you think so? That's really funny. Well, I like to give everyone this opportunity to talk a little bit of the glory days, right? So, this is your chance. This is the Greenwood inspired chance to brag a little bit about any accomplishments that you had before you came to Cal Poly. What's your proudest accomplishment before Cal Poly?
It's a funny question. I wouldn't say I have any like physical accolades, like trophies, right? I wasn't like that kind of that kind of person or athlete.
Right.
But I think my proudest accomplishment, honestly, is just my family. Like, I know it's cliche, but I just am so proud to be part of my family. And
Yeah.
I know it's like a cheesy answer.
Oh, you know
It's
what,
like
Isabel? I was about to say, I could sense that you were feeling that way. And I would actually say it's the opposite. It's like such a genuine, unbelievably caring thing to say, and not at all cliche. Like, I don't think very many people would say that at all. And I think it speaks to what type of person you are, what type of person your parents and your family are and mean to you. And so I love hearing it. I love hearing it, someone who is 2,500 miles away from their family, and dealing with some health problems right now back in North Carolina with family and whatnot. It's hard being that far away. And so hearing you say that just warms my heart. So that's really awesome. Tell us about your pathway to Cal Poly. Everyone has their own experience, and obviously we have a bit of a OC pipeline, but down there in Yorba Linda, I imagine when you say Cal Poly, people are thinking Pomona, right?
Right,
So you have to
right.
say no, San Luis Obispo. But tell us your story, how you ended up in San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, great question. So I applied to so many colleges, right?
Yeah.
To see it was the right fit. And going into college, I also applied to a lot of different majors, which I know is not really something that's normal, but I
Right.
kind of just wanted to see what stuck and what really spoke to me. And so
Yeah.
I narrowed it down to a couple options. And when I actually toured Cal Poly, I just fell in love. I know everyone said that too, but if you haven't been there, for listeners of the podcast, you need to go because
Yeah.
it is amazingly beautiful place to go to college. Right when I stepped foot on campus, I knew it was kind of like a second home for me. And my major, like you said, was environmental management and protection. And that school specifically offered just an amazing program that I wouldn't be able to get really anywhere else. So it was an easy choice for me once I visited.
Yeah. And you know, I really love it. I don't know whether you know this or not, Isabel, but when I started at Cal Poly, we were a program in the natural resources and NRM, Natural Resource Management Department, mm-hmm. right? And so some of my early mentors here at Cal Poly were NRM faculty, and it wasn't until, I guess it was 2012, so my first 6 years here, we were a part of the NRM department. And then I think it was 2012 that we became our own department. And so it's so great to talk to you and you know, obviously we're close with their faculty and know a lot of them and that sort of thing. And so yeah, what a great major. Now, were you interested in, were you like an environmentalist? Were you very big in protecting the earth growing up? Was that sort of what drew you?
Yeah. Thank you again. Great question. So I think it was my dad mainly who inspired me. He was very much a no waste kind of man. Growing up, he didn't have much, right? So he knew he needed to use everything he could to its fullest. And I really respected that. And I was like, you know what? I think more people need to be like that. And it really kind of opened my eyes to how we really do waste a lot, right? And we're so fortunate to live in the place we do where, unfortunately, we do waste a lot. And so my thought was, you know, maybe I won't end up in a career necessarily related to the field, but if I can further my knowledge and just become educated on the matter, I think I'll be a better person because of it. And so that's why I joined the major.
I love that. Yeah, I love that perspective. That is so great. And I love you talking about your dad and his perspective. You know, as I got older and more aware of environmental issues, that's one of the things that kind of struck me as like, I just didn't really get it. Like when you really think about it, like though I come from a background where, you know, my family didn't come from much in terms of, you know, I grew up on a farm and my, you know, growing up, I remember hearing my stepdad talk about living in like a one room home and that sort of thing. And that ethic of like using everything and like you said, not wasting, it's really kind of amazing that some people haven't embraced that element. And so, yeah, it's so great to hear you reflect on that. So let's talk about your discovery of our minor, and what drew you to it. And you know, we mentioned ASB, but, you know, you had your own pathway here once you got to Cal Poly. So how did you hear about the minor and what drew you?
Yeah. So actually I was fortunate enough, my first summer, after college or my first year of college, my best friend's sister, follow me, best friend's sister was an event planner and she needed help with the wedding she was doing. And I was like, you know what? This sounds fun. Let me try. And she kind of just opened my eyes to that world that I had never experienced. And so doing that summer, I realized that this was a passion that kind of was ignited. And I realized, oh, we can do minors in college, right? Let me see if there's anything here that fits that. And when I found it, I was like, wait, this is exactly what I want.
No way.
It was just perfect. I think that was honestly, that was the thing about Cal Poly is there were so many different paths and resources. And when you look for something, you can find it. You can definitely find it. And if you can't find it, you can make it happen. And so when I found the minor, I was like, sign me up, whatever I have to do, I'll figure it out. And it was amazing. Every class I took, I know it was a minor, so I didn't take as many, obviously, as the major students did, but every class I took really impacted me. And Every summer after that, I was able to find different internships or
I know. Yeah, I was looking at your, and you do have quite a few, right? Yeah, so that's cool. And so weddings kind of drew you in, and now you also you told me earlier that you just recently got married. So so wow, that's some good perspective to have, right? I bet you were not a bridezilla, were you?
Well, it depends who you ask. No, I'm just kidding. No. Because, like you said, because I lived on the other side of it, I definitely knew what and what not to say and who to become best friends with.
Yeah, I can imagine for brides that it's a, I mean, I know as a groom, it was a very stressful day for me, but not nearly as stressful as I, you know, in having empathy, it seemed like a bit more stressful for bride. And I know that there's some cultural elements to that, obviously, but I can imagine that with your experience in wedding planning, it probably eased the stress a little bit because you know what happens, right? And
you know how it goes. It was still a little stressful, but
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. Well, let's talk a little bit more about your time at Cal Poly. I mean, we always hear, of course, about our learn by doing philosophy and mantra. And so I like to give students an opportunity to reflect on that. And so when you look back at your time, like, were there things that you did from a professional development perspective that you look back and you think, oh, wow, that really helped to propel me?
Yes, absolutely. There's actually two kind of specific memories I have.
Yeah.
Came from classes I took for the minor. And one, well, when I was actually in the EIM club way back when, and there was someone who spoke about, it was the slow wedding planner's masquerade ball. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yes. And they were looking for volunteers to kind of just help day of. And like I said, I was very new to the minor. I had just started. And I was, you know what? Let me just throw myself in there. If I can swim, then I'm made for it, right? So I did it. And it was amazing. I met so many amazing people. It was an amazing experience. I mean, the venue was gorgeous. And so that definitely propelled me to, it wasn't a wedding, right? So it was a different kind of event that really sparked my interest. So I loved that. And then I also, I participated in the Cambria Lights, I volunteered at the Cambria Lights, which is a different event, right? And so that opened my eyes to a whole different kind of world and in the industry. And I loved doing that. And it was obviously a different kind of experience. And I learned different things. But both of those really stuck out to me. And they both really shaped, I think, what I wanted to look into doing in the future.
I bet. And yes, I was, you know, Dr. Rue, I'd heard so much about the Cambria Lights event and for those who don't know, it's I think it runs like all of December, right? Like something like that, or, you know, a lot of December. And it's just an amazing walk and lights, in Cambria and is really popular. Dr. Rue and I got to go, a couple years back and had quite a blast. Yeah.
Yeah. It was beautiful. I loved it. Definitely an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about, your path, leaving Cal Poly and going out into, a career space. You know, everyone has a unique story along those lines. And I know that yours is just as unique as anyone else. So let's talk a little bit about that. So you graduated at an interesting time, of course, right around a little thing called the global pandemic. And so that, let's first talk about that, Isabel. That had to be really hard. I don't want to pull any punches. I'm sure that was really hard. Can you talk about that and what it was like?
Absolutely. It was, I mean, I think it's funny. I think I was actually in your class when the pandemic hit, Because when I believe you sent an email about the finals being online or whatnot, I was like, oh, this is serious. Okay, we're going home. So I was actually supposed to graduate class of 2021. And I was lucky enough that I took enough credits either over the summer or just during the school year that I was able to graduate early if I wanted to. And fortunately, unfortunately, because of COVID, I was living at home. I moved back home. I wasn't in SLO anymore. And I made the decision ultimately to graduate early because it was no longer that same college experience for me, which, you know, was unfortunate. And I wouldn't change anything. Obviously, I am the person I am now because of everything I've been through. But it was hard, definitely, moving back home, suddenly doing Zoom classes for the last quarter.
Yeah.
And because Cal Poly is such a hands-on, learn by doing school, I think we felt the impact even more having to do the classes online. So I know you feel the same way. I know everyone does too, but it was definitely hard. Absolutely.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, you're an amazing student. I mean, you excelled in college, obviously. I don't think it matters. I think whether or not you excelled or not, it is so hard for everybody. Like you said, we tried our hardest as faculty members to embrace learn by doing via Zoom, but it's like beating your head against the wall. It's what it felt like, you know. It's kind of weird because I almost felt like what was even harder was that year where we were trying to do both. Like, that was really hard as faculty because we would offer Zoom and not everybody did that, I know, but I felt like it was like I needed to. And then that would make it so that like half the class was there and half the class was on Zoom. And that was just so difficult. I felt like I couldn't be myself. And I don't know, but I definitely felt for you all and your class in particular, because it's just so hard to be graduating and trying to find a job in an environment like that. And so let's talk about that experience, you know, your first couple of positions. Like, so was it, am I making that up, or was it hard graduating and trying to find a job?
No, it was. It was hard. I think I was very fortunate, though. I have a lot of connections just in the industry. Luckily, my husband, he wasn't my husband then, but my husband's sister's friend was an event planner, and she was just starting up and she needed some help. And I was like, you know what? I don't have a job. If you can take a chance on me, I'll take a chance on you. Let's see how this thing goes. And so I worked for the Divine Plan Events. That's the name of the event planning company. And I loved it. And that, you can imagine, was interesting too, because it was in the midst of the pandemic.
I was going to say, but what about like, how did you manage COVID? But I guess weddings, that was like March 2021. I guess weddings by that point were kind of getting ramped back up, right?
A little bit. They were definitely still different. We had a lot of outdoor weddings and small weddings. And also my boss, she was just genius and decided, let's do some intimate picnics and let's market those so that we can still have events and still have our clients have these beautiful moments with their partners or families. But let it be safe, right? In an environment that everyone feels safe. And so a lot of those small, really intimate events, which I loved, and they were beautiful.
I love it. That's awesome. And you were doing a couple different things at once, weren't you? Like, so you also were working as a clean air ambassador. Like, what was that? Was that an actual, was that a paid position, or was that?
Yes, it was.
It was. Yeah. Yeah, okay. It was.
So I started that when I was in SLO still, pre-pandemic, but it carried over during the pandemic just because they needed curriculum and videos for students who were also in the midst of a pandemic, and they wanted the curriculum to be shared out. So I actually did a lot of voiceover videos
You did.
that they got to share with students. And so, yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I think that was a while ago, and I forget that I.
Yeah. All right. Give us a voiceover. You got the voice, huh? You're gonna have to talk to me because I want to get into some voiceover work. You know, I imagine that they need a southern sounding
absolutely anything.
Deep
yes
voice, deep voice. And you also worked for Marriott Vacations Worldwide, right? So as a recreation coordinator. How'd you get that position, and what was that position like? What was your biggest takeaway from that?
Yes, so that actually has quite the story as well, just because I went to a career fair at Cal Poly, again, pre-COVID. I believe it was 2019, maybe 2018, and they were doing internships. And so I got an internship interning at, I believe it was the Palm Desert location, the Marriott, as a recreation intern.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit and they canceled it, which was unfortunate. So got pushed. They were amazing. And they were like, we see you. We still want you to be an intern for us. Hold on. Hold on for a little longer.
Yeah.
Fast forward. I was looking for a more stable full-time career job. Yeah. And I noticed they were posting jobs at the Newport location. And so I applied, and that's how I ended up eventually finally working for Marriott. Took several years.
That's but cool. I ended up
there. Yes.
That's cool. So you were running recreation programs on site for the kids?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a timeshare property. Yeah. And so along with my team, we kind of just planned events and activities for the families. Yeah. During the holidays, we had larger scale events that we helped run.
Of course, of course. And I imagine with your background with two parents as teachers, I imagine you were great at that. So I imagine that also kind of propelled you into your current position. So let's talk about what you're doing now. So when I reached out to Isabel, it was Riviera week. The Genesis Invitational, and the Genesis Invitational is hosted by Tiger Woods. And so the TGR Foundation gets a big spotlight because of that. And obviously it was unfortunate that he ended up getting sick and having to withdraw. But when I reached out, I said, look, I know you're super busy this week. So maybe in a couple of weeks, we can get a podcast going. But let's talk about how you got that position. And yeah, maybe just tell everyone a little bit about what the TGR Foundation does.
Absolutely. Thank you. So how I ended up in the position, really, I loved my time at Marriott. I think I learned a lot, but I also learned that hospitality wasn't necessarily where I was meant to be, right? And at the heart, I really knew I wanted to end up somehow in a nonprofit, whether that be an environmental nonprofit, educational nonprofit, didn't really matter. I just wanted to give back. And so I was on LinkedIn, you know, job searching, and actually one of my old coworkers at Marriott saw the posting and she thought of me. She sent it to me. She's like, you'll be perfect. Apply, see what happens.
Oh, cool.
So I actually entered as an administrative assistant for the Earlwood Scholar Program. So just a little background for everyone. The TGR Foundation was actually founded in 1996. And the core mission of the TGR Foundation is to help students pursue their passions through education, right? And this can be seen in lots of different ways, but specifically I work for the Earlwood Scholar Program that was founded in 2006 by Tiger to honor his late father who had passed away. And so this program is, I mean, it's my team, so I love it so much. Essentially, we have students who apply for a scholarship. They get a scholarship from us, but it's more than that. They get mentorship and they get support from our foundation so that they can succeed in college and after they graduate. And so I know that was a lot, but I'm so passionate about my job. I love it so much.
No, it was perfect. It's not a, wasn't a lot at all. You described it perfectly. And I want to ask you about this one, because I think it's an important lesson for a lot of people out there. You are the second alumni that I've talked to who started as an administrative assistant and then went into a different role. And so I wonder if you can touch on that, because I think it's a really, really awesome story. Because one of the things that I look at, I remember and think about in my career, getting my foot in the door so that I could show people what I could do,
Absolutely.
I felt like was always important. And I didn't really care what I did. I was gonna show them, And I think you kind of have a little bit of a, you can even kind of have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, but not in a sense where you're like I'm better than this, but a chip on your shoulder in terms of like, I want to do the best, right? Is that the mentality that you took when you took that position?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And it's funny because when I, like you said, when I got the position as an administrative assistant, I just knew I wanted to work for TGR Foundation. I stood for their mission so much that, like you said, however I could get in the door, I was going to do it. And I was fortunate enough to be part of a team that supported me like honestly no one else has. And they were the ones who had the new opening as a program coordinator. They saw my potential, which I appreciated so much. And they said, you know what, you would be perfect for this. Apply for it and we'll see, what happens. And wow, I mean, they are all my mentors, right? I have a small team. I could talk about them forever. I shout out, they're amazing. And I think they gave me really the strength to believe in myself and apply for the position and see myself in a role I had never anticipated, right? And so you're absolutely right. I think it's important to take the opportunities, whether or not we see ourselves in that specific role long term. If it's in a place in a community that we feel like we'll thrive in, it's so important to take the opportunity. I'm so glad I did.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's actually a really great qualifier, right? If it's an organization. And the other alumni that I'm thinking about, she was Serena Von Hartman. She was with Fox Racing, and she grew up in a racing family, and she knew she wanted to be a part of Fox Racing. And it was during the pandemic that she took that position too. And so similar to you with TGR, if you know you believe in the mission of the organization, no matter where you start. Now, I also want to say I did not mean to say that in any sort of denigrating fashion towards administrative assistants, because administrative assistants, that is a great career path too, where you can where there you know there's lots of upward mobility in that space as well. And I think it's so I don't mean to I'm not trying to say anything like that. And I think but I think it also gives you a perspective to where you treat everyone equally and the same, right? And because I think some people have a tendency, I've noticed that here on college campuses, we have this thing where we'll say like, watch and see how they treat the staff, right? And if they don't treat the staff well, then they're not really a good person, right? They're not really. And that's, I think that's so valuable. And so yeah, I imagine it gives you an enhanced perspective that is helping you in your current position. So let's talk about that current position. Tell us what your, I know no day is the same, but tell us what your day-to-day is like.
Right. So you're right. No day is the same at all. But I cherish them all so much. Essentially, what my role is to support our scholars, right? So they go to college at prestigious, amazing colleges all over the country. And for a lot of them, they are first generation college students. And so they're experiencing things for the first time and everything is very new and they are so strong and smart, but sometimes they need a support system, a familiar face. And so the fact that we have them in our program for 4 years, of course, they're in our program forever after that as well. But
for life, is that how it works, really?
Yeah, well, absolutely. They become part of our alumni network and we just love connecting with them. But essentially, I will connect with our scholars, see how they're doing, if they need support with anything, just be a really a shoulder for them. And we also do events and workshops for them to continue to grow their educational journey. And that includes professional development or connecting them with amazing mentors. Like I said, they all have amazing mentors that volunteer their time to essentially be a mentor for them for 4 years. And they, for a lot of them, for more than 4 years. But every day I really learn so much from my scholars. I think again, don't know how I really ended up here. I wouldn't have told you this is where I would have ended up, but I think it ended up being the perfect place for me. As a daughter of educators, like I said, I knew I was going to end up.
I bet you have a proud mom, mother and father for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I knew I was going to end up in some sort of education, right? But I wanted to do it in my own path, in my own way, and ended up doing that. And so, I love my job. I mean, my scholars mean everything to me, and
that's awesome.
Their success and there are successes, right? And we're there cheering them on. So yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, you know, and I can hear it in your voice, Isabel. It's pretty amazing to have something that you care about like you do, to get up every day and to go, hey, I'm gonna support somebody and help someone to do better, right? To improve their you know, their situation, and to help them from an educational standpoint. It has to mean so much. And then it's also got to be pretty amazing to know that you're working for an organization started by perhaps the most recognizable sports figure in the world, you know. I do want to ask you about that. So this was probably your first Genesis Invitational,
or your second, actually.
It was your second one? Okay. Oh yeah, of course, because that's right. I was looking at program coordinator, but then that's been your second one. So tell us what that week is like. And because I imagine I know that TGR has a pretty prominent place for the Genesis Invitational. And so what's that week like?
Absolutely. So we have several teams at TGR Foundation, right? So we have our TGR Live team, which is essentially our amazing event planning team, fundraising team, everything team. They run the event. So they are superstars. I mean, that week and the months before that, they are working so hard, so everything goes flawlessly, and they do a phenomenal job. And so on our end, we just really are fortunate because our scholars get to be highlighted. So if you ever do go to the Genesis Invitational, you'll probably see some tea announcers, and our scholars actually get to be those tea announcers, which is just amazing.
I knew that. Yeah, because I'm a huge golf fan. Yeah, so I love that. I think that is such an amazing part of it. Yeah.
So it really shows, you know, where the fundraising goes. It goes to our scholars, and they are just worthy of, you know, all the fundraising. And so it's amazing getting to show them in their light and just show them to the world. And so for us, like I said, it's really just showcasing what we do at our foundation, but could not be done without our TGR Live team and the greater TGR Foundation. They're just amazing in how they execute that event. But on our end, it isn't as intense as their end.
Yeah, right. You get it. You get to relax a little more.
Which is funny because I think if, you know, it went a different way for my path, I would have probably wanted to join that event planning team, right? And so, like I said, it's funny how my my career path went, but I'm so happy to be on this side of it because I do get to, you know, work with my students and stuff. But no, Genesis is an amazing event. If you're able to go, I would recommend.
Yeah, I want
the Barrier Country Club is just beautiful. And the event, so many people just to see what our foundation's about. And we're very fortunate that Tiger Woods is able to just have this amazing foundation help so many people. We're really appreciative.
Yeah, it's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about work-life balance, right? So you told me earlier you're on your lunch break, right? And so, you know, I think it's important that we reflect on work-life balance. And you know, for a lot of people working in the nonprofit space, it can be a little rough, right? Because depending on the size, you know, of the organization, you're wearing a lot of hats and there's a lot expected of you. I would imagine a pretty well-funded one like the TGR Foundation that maybe that's a little bit, maybe not quite as much pressure to, you know, to do all things and wear all hats. But still, it's a nonprofit world. So tell us a little bit about what you do for your work-life balance to maintain that balance.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually very fortunate that I have a hybrid position. So that's why I'm able to do this right now because on my lunch break. But when we are able to work from home, we do sometimes have that flexibility, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But my office isn't too far right from where I live. So that's amazing. Also, commute isn't.
Yeah, and it's right there with the foundation where the kids come and
Anaheim. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we work at that learning lab in Anaheim. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen the videos of it. Right, it looks like a really awesome space.
It's amazing. You should come see it. You should come. Absolutely.
I should. You know, in fact, you know, as we've come out of the pandemic and everything, we do want to have more and more professional development trips. So maybe we'll have a professional development trip down to Riviera for the Genesis 1 year. That would be fun. That would be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so work-life balance, I think you're correct. I would be sugarcoating it if I said we don't wear a lot of hats. We absolutely do. We're happy to wear all the hats, right? Because it goes to a good cause. But we do wear a lot of hats. And I think my team is just so supportive and amazing. And when we need help, we ask for it and we support each other in any way we can. So I think for me, I'm fortunate. I don't feel like, my life is unbalanced, which is amazing. But I think it's an amazing work environment. I cannot complain. Yeah.
Love it. What do you like to do for fun, Isabel? What's your fun time?
Great question. You know, lately it's just been walking. I know that sounds so boring, but walking is just like a really great reset for me. I think it's a time where I can just kind of refocus and like go over my day. I walk with my husband. That's our like connection time. Go over the day, what we do. And so walking, self-care, I think has been awesome. I definitely watch TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, the usual stuff.
Yeah.
And then hanging out with my my family dog, Daisy.
Oh, Daisy. I had a Daisy growing up. That is awesome. I love that name. In fact, Daisy was one of my first dog that I remember. Was named Daisy. Well, you know, one thing that you're very smart about, Isabel, is the fact that you are not interrupting your walks by hitting a little white ball like I do and then and then cussing and then walking to the next place where the white ball is, usually not where I intended it to go.
You know, I do. I try to go to the driving range, right?
Have you?
I have to, right? I mean, what I do, I have to.
Yeah, right.
Just honor the founder of my foundation.
That's right.
I'm not good, definitely, right. But I try and it's fun. I mean,
yeah.
I've played a couple rounds, but I would not say I'm anywhere near good.
Well, keep at it, but be very careful because during the pandemic, I did not catch the COVID bug. I caught the golf bug. And it's no, it's been really fun. I was out this morning and by myself. I love putting my headphones in and just walking the course. It's in the morning. It's really, really pretty special. But I have been a lifelong Tiger, well, not lifelong. I've been a career-long Tiger Woods fan, and so just love the work that he's done with the TGR Foundation, and just love that you're supporting the scholars and that you're supporting the effort. And like I said, when I saw that you were working with them, it was really exciting for me. So let's end with this one, Isabel. So if you could time travel, now you would not have to time travel very much, very far back, but if you could time travel and give junior year Isabel any advice, what would you give her?
That's a great question. Let's see, what year would that be?
2018, maybe 2019, something like that.
So I would say, honestly, just to not stress so much. I think I've always put a lot of pressure on myself, specifically in college, to have it all figured out, right? And that's unrealistic, of course, but someone can always try. And I think, really tell myself everything's going to work out. Say yes to all the opportunities that you get. You never know who you're going to meet. You never know what you're going to learn.
Yeah.
And I think just to really not stress too much about the future and live in the moment. Absolutely. I think I've been fortunate enough to do that now. I think the pandemic honestly has really, I think, matured all of us a lot, specifically those of us that I think were in college and kind of just had to grow up and get pushed out into the real world. And I think, I am who I am because I was pushed out of the birds. But every opportunity I got since then has taught me so much, and I'm so appreciative of everything. And so, definitely, yeah, that's a lot of advice, but I would be like, you're fine. Everything's gonna be great.
That's so good, and I absolutely love that. And I'm gonna have to like once your podcast airs, I'm gonna have to sneak it into my daughter's headphones because she's a sophomore in high school, and I feel like she's already stressing too much about academics and but it's hard, you when you want to do well. And you put the pressure on yourself, but then you look back and you're like, oh, okay, I probably should have chilled out a little bit with the stress. But so such great advice along those lines. I can't thank you enough for taking the time with me today. It was so much fun to talk to you and to see you again. And thank you so much for doing that for us.
Oh my goodness, of course. It's been an honor, honestly. When you reached out, I was honored. So I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me and giving me the platform also to just kind of share about what I do. I'm so passionate about it. So I hope everyone enjoys learning about it.
Absolutely. Well, that passion really has come through in this talk. And I was already supportive of TGR Foundation, but now I'm even more gung-ho. And so I love it. I love it that I have a connection through you. So that's great. Thank you so much, Isabel.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
See ya.
Bye.